Welcome to Session 1 of the Leaders' Conference with Jonathan Croft, coming into the Promised Land.
Pastor Colin does send his apologies. He really did try and make it up here. It wasn't until 11 o'clock yesterday morning that he made that final decision that he just couldn't make it because he has hurt his back a little bit. And he tried to get in cars and things like that, but he just realized it wasn't the wisest thing to do for a five-hour journey in the car. And so he's asked me to pass on his apologies to each and every one of you, because I know that we all look forward to sitting under somebody like Pastor Colin's teaching, don't we?
Hallelujah.
And we are, you know, privileged to do that. However, God still wants to move here today.
Amen.
And I know that what God is wanting to do amongst us is to really bring a fresh release of His Holy Spirit into our lives in a fresh way because of what He is wanting to do in this next generation of time.
Amen.
I'm just going to give you a brief overview of where we are at Kingdom Faith in Horsham. At this moment, because it is at a very crucial time of Kingdom Faith, but also what I believe God is about to do in our nations. Pastor Colin was 70 this week, and he has been in ministry for well over 40 years, 46 years, I think it is, 45, 46 years. But as many of you know, the charismatic move of God began in the 70s in this country. And a generation of time in biblical terminology is 40 years. And so therefore, 70 to 2010, we are talking about a generation that has finished. And we are coming into a new generation of time spiritually in our nation. Many, many other people and across America and across other places in the world are hearing exactly the same thing at this time. We are entering into a new season of time.
Hallelujah.
And we as God's children and as particularly as leaders, we have to be people who discern the times that we are living in. And therefore, as leaders, we need to be able to progress and translate that into the people that we teach, those areas that we have involvement in, the people that we are responsible for, so that we can translate that, so that we can ensure that they too can come into the fullness of what God is wanting for all of us as God's children.
Amen.
So Pastor Colin was 70 this week. Last Sunday we had a baptism at the church, and there was something that broke. You know how ladies, you, certainly those who have had babies, had children, there comes to a point where the waters break just before the baby is born. And we just felt that on Sunday, this last Sunday, 6 days ago, we just felt that in the spirit there was the waters breaking. And therefore, in a sense, the baby is about to be born.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And with Pastor Colin being 70, 10 years ago, Pastor Colin heard something from the Lord saying that by the time that he's 70, he'll no longer be in the day-to-day responsibility of Kingdom Faith, the management side, the executive decision side, but he will be passing that over to others. And that took place on Tuesday of this week. When he was 70 on Tuesday, we had a vision night on Wednesday. And Pastor Clive, who is the senior pastor now, he, in a sense, was endorsed as the person taking over the mantle of responsibility for Kingdom Faith, along with some of others that are in leadership with him. That doesn't mean that Pastor Colin has retired. We do not want him to retire. His anointing is his anointing, and he will have and carry that anointing until the Lord takes him to glory. And we at Kingdom Faith and the leadership, Pastor Clive and myself and others, We want to have that anointing as we continue on this journey that God has got us on. Because we realize that the apostolic anointing is something that the church continues to need. It needs the prophetic anointing. It needs the teacher's anointing. It needs the pastoral anointing. It needs all the anointings to fulfill the whole of what God is wanting for his church. It's not just the apostolic without anything else. Because the apostolic will have vision after vision after vision, but it needs the pastoral anointing as well, so that the people can be encouraged, can be built up, can be looked after. So the pastoral and the apostolic are so vital together, but Pastor Collins' apostolic we need. And so please, if anybody sort of, you hear somebody saying Pastor Collins retired, he hasn't. He will be still teaching in the school. He will be doing keynotes in the church. He'll still be teaching at the Bible school and faith camp. You know, it's the anointing that we want, but he doesn't want the ongoing responsibility. And so therefore, in obedience to God, he has released that. And so therefore, the eldership now of Kingdom Faith is three of us. It's Pastor Clive, myself, and a gentleman called Paul Taylor. And we then have a wider leadership team, and Pastor Jonathan is part of that team. And, you know, we want to understand, and I believe that we all need to understand that it is about a team now. Yeah. Yeah. There always has to be a leader of leaders, but it is about a team. God has also been saying prophetically, not just in this nation, but in other nations, that this now season, this generation time, is about crossing over into the promised land. Yes. And God has taken us to Joshua and the story of Joshua. And the story of Joshua, you know, Joshua came to the Jordan, the miracle of the Jordan River, the crossing over quickly. And also the establishment of the camp on the other side of the Jordan in the promised land, but then the consecration time. And we believe that over this last couple of months, we've been in that consecration time where God has been consecrating us. In Joshua chapter 5, it talks about circumcision, and all the men go, But, you know, circumcision is also, you know, in the New Testament, it's the circumcision of the heart. It's not the law of, it's the circumcision of the heart. And so therefore, God has been working in our hearts over this period of time, just getting us focused in the right way. And, you know, in a sense, the Holy Spirit has been doing that work in each one of us. And as leaders, we just need to be people who allow the Holy Spirit to do that thorough work in us, because we are the people that can bring the great release, or we can be the people who are the bottle stoppers.
That's right.
And I really believe that God wants to take the cork out the bottle to release his spirit in leadership in order to bring other people into that place of freedom that God wants them to have.
Amen.
The promised land is a plan that is full of freedom. It's full of liberty. However, we still have to do things God's way.
That's right.
Because, you know, we have Jericho. You know, we come across the Jordan, we hit Jericho. And at this moment in time, and we're coming to this point where Jericho is shut up. And we really believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to give leaders wisdom of how to open up things that are shut. We're not just talking about cities, but we're talking about situations in people's lives. There may be situations that we all face even today where there are things in the spirit or things in the natural realm that are shut up to us. And I believe God is saying it's time to open those things that are shut up in the spirit realm, but also in the natural realm. People who've had long-standing illnesses, I believe, you know, it's been shut up from the power of God coming into their life. I believe it's time for God to release his power in those situations. So what has once been shut up is now open. And I'm sure that you as leaders can think of situations where you have been pastorally seeing people week in, week out. You're involved in people's lives. And you know that there are times where there are things that are in people's lives that it's like they are shut up. You can't get through. However many times that you come and counsel, you come and minister to them, you bring the word of the Lord, but it's like it's a closed door. But you see, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that I believe God is wanting to release. So that there are things that are being shut up to us as leaders are beginning to be open. So that other people can come into that place of freedom that He wants for us. And for us as leaders, we need to be the examples. We need to be the people who demonstrate the life of freedom that God wants us to have. So that other people too can come in into that spacious place that God wants us to come and enjoy. And so therefore, you know, it's very, very brief, but I just wanted to give you an outline of where we're at this moment in Kingdom Faith. And we really believe that, you know, in Kingdom Faith, in Horsham, and obviously in Yorkshire, in the Southwest and London, where we have Kingdom Faith churches, we believe that we're coming into a season where we are going to raise a shout and the walls will come tumbling down.
Yes.
Those things that are shut up will be open.
Glory.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
And therefore, our expectation of the supernatural is high. And I'm going to have some things on the screen in a minute. And I just want to, in a sense, talk to you about them. And because these things that God has been saying to me have been challenging me. And, you know, as leaders, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our hearts, because if we do that, if we allow God to consecrate our hearts, what we bring will be full of life, not just words.
Amen.
You know, so many people come and, you know, they teach from what they know and their own understanding. And, you know, I lecture in the Bible College at Kingdom Faith. And one of the things that the students can discern is when somebody is just teaching out of a knowledge perspective, and when people are teaching out of a life experience. It's very visible, it's very noticeable. And I want us all, every one of us, and I know you're leaders here and future leaders, but you're getting opportunities to preach, to share with one-to-one, to one-to-many. But what we have to be people of is we need to be people who are carrying the life and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit that will break through into other situations, so that what people see is Jesus Christ in us.
Amen.
Because they look at us and they see people who are free.
Hallelujah.
A people who are confident.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Not because of what we've done, it's because what He's done.
Amen.
I just got a statement here, and this is from a book. Can I have the slide, please? This is by a gentleman called Eld Weald, and he wrote a book, A World Made Whole. And this is about a group of people in the 6th, 7th century. In them, we encounter people whom very often almost humanly impossible things are related. They see visions, talk with angels, repulse demons, stop rivers, raise the dead, tame fierce beasts. The supernatural is always breaking out. They are men of power. Miracles are recounted as though they are the most natural occurrence.
Come on.
I believe God is wanting us to be people who identify with this statement.
Yes.
And newspapers and the world identify this statement with His church.
Amen.
Just read it for yourself for a minute. This statement is about monks. This statement was written about the Celts. There was 12 monks that travelled from Ireland over to Scotland and to a place called Iona. And this statement was written about them. You know, people in grey habits, shaved heads. It's not bad, hey? That doesn't mean we have to shave our heads and go round in grey habits.
That's going to happen, I'll do it.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Too
But, you know, certainly those last three sentences. I mean, the first sentence, we encounter people who are often almost humanly impossible things are related. Is that what you want?
Amen. Yes.
Is that what you really want? You see, I found that, you know, I've had the privilege of working for Kingdom Faith for 20 years now. And that's incredible, isn't it? Well, I'm only 30. But, I've been working for Kingdom Faith for 20 years, and I've been a born again now. I've been saved for 42 years. And that's even further impossibilities. So my youth has been renewed. But one of the, humanly impossible, absolutely. But one of the things that, you know, I have had the privilege of doing for virtually all of those 20 years is to go around to different churches, many times with Pastor Colin, because I was part of his traveling team for many a year. And, you know, it has been such a privilege in this country and abroad to see so many different church situations and circumstances. But one of the things that I've seen is that some leaders really want a statement like this to be happening in the church. Other people say yes to it, but they're not then prepared to pay the cost for it. Because you see, if you are wanting something like this to be a regular occurrence in your churches, then there is going to be a cost involved in that. That cost is denying yourself. It's statements that we know very, very well. But sometimes these familiar statements, you know, take up your cross and follow me, can be something that we put on the sideline saying we know that. But you see, if we are wanting to see the fulfillment of what I believe God intended for his church, then it's going to require a cost, it's going to require a consecration, it's going to require determination to see the purposes of God unfold in our generation of time. Please, generation, we're not talking about an age group. We're talking about a generation of time. Biblically, a generation is 40 years. And so therefore, the generation that exists now is four generations. We've got the granddads. We've got the fathers, we've got the sons, and we've got the grandsons. So there's four generations involved. That's what we're talking about. So we're not excluding anybody. So if you belong to a church that has an older membership, then you are still involved in this generation, this period of the church history that is unfolding at this time. So you're okay, Mr. Dr. Fraser. I was about to say Mr. and I got it. Oh, Dr. Fraser. But you see, I want this to be real in my life.
Amen.
Yes, come on.
But I have to allow the Holy Spirit to bring about the changes that are necessary in my heart and my life where this is my expectation. You see, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, they still had to obey the instructions of the Father so that whatever obstacle came in their way, there was victory and not defeat. Immediately after Jericho, you had Ai. All the people, including the leadership, forgot to listen to what the Holy Spirit was saying to them, or God was saying to them. And so therefore, they said, okay, yeah, this is a small little place. We'll just send a few people up and they'll defeat that army. But they didn't hear what God was saying. Because if they had listened to what God was saying, God would have told them immediately there was sin in the camp. And therefore, something needed to be made right before they could go up and take that city of Ai. Things were put right because they listened, they humbled themselves. There was that humility, there was humbling. You know, the elders put the ashes and sackcloth on themselves. Praise God that doesn't happen today. But the humility still has to happen.
Come on.
Because if we as leaders do not humble ourselves, before Almighty God and allow Him to teach us, to show us, to reveal to us what His plan and His purpose is, then we are not going to be people who can lead anybody anywhere. We would lead people into tradition. And there's some other statements that are coming up that really God has really certainly been challenging me. But I just want us to get that whole statement, because I believe that we need to be people who are expecting this in this generation of time. I believe that God wants you to be a man or woman of power. I believe that the supernatural is always breaking out. But the supernatural is not just always the amazing miracles of legs growing. But the supernatural is seeing somebody saved.
Amen.
Somebody who is being free because of, say, comment of love, a comment of, you know, compassion that has been, you know, sent out from the mouth. An action. They can be supernatural acts just as much as a leg growing. The greatest supernatural act is somebody coming into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So salvation is the greatest supernatural act. And each one of us are sitting here because of that supernatural act in our hearts and lives that has brought us into that relationship with the Father. And that is something that the Father is constantly wanting us to have, is that relationship. And He doesn't want that relationship to break for one moment, because He is wanting to see the supernatural breaking out in our lives in every situation and circumstance. So we need to be expectant every single day of our life for Him to be actioning something through us, because He is initiating something in our hearts, in our lives. And so therefore, when we're speaking to somebody, when we're touching somebody's life, it's a supernatural touching their life. Miracles are recounted as though they are most natural occurrence. You know, I believe that we need to be expectant, and, you know, that can be with finances, that can be with some miracles, whatever. But that is what God wants us to have, and that's why, you know, at the end of the day, we are going to pray for anybody who wants to have a fresh release of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that, I believe, is what God is saying to His church at this time. Can we have the next slide, please? This has really challenged me. If you don't know God, He'll look a lot like you. You'll make Him up. And you'll be the rock star in that relationship. When we don't know who God is because we don't know His love and how His love works, we get scared and we turn Him and our relationship with Him into what we already know. I'll read that again. If you don't know God, He'll look a lot like you. You'll make Him up and you'll be a rock star in that relationship. When we don't know who God is because we don't know His love and how His love works, we get scared and we turn Him and our relationship with Him into what we already know. Can we quickly flick onto the next slide, please? Don't create a God in your own image. One of the things that I've realized for myself, and I only can talk personally here, is that I've got to be very careful. I've been in church virtually all of my life. I probably was at church the first week I was born, because my parents were Christians, and I thank God for that. But you see, within that, I can make up my own religious view, my religious conviction. I can, and have seen, so many ways of doing church. And, you know, I've been in an Anglican church, and I was this all at the same time. I was in an Anglican church in the morning because I went to Sunday school. My dad was a Sunday school teacher in the Anglican church. So they belong to the Anglican church. But my dad was also a Sunday school teacher in the AOG church, which is a Pentecostal church. So I went there in the afternoon. And to get away from my dad, I went to a Brethren church at lunchtime. This is serious. And sometimes I then went to an evening meeting on a Sunday at an Elam church. That was my upbringing. It was very, very strong. It was very, very strict upbringing in a sense. You know, no working on a Sunday or anything like that, and no TV, and we didn't have a TV until I was 21, 22. But I'm not judging that. I'm very, very thankful for my upbringing. But you see, that can create a God in my own image. When we get to a situation or circumstance, you know, pastorally, when you are in your leadership roles or functions, you too can create a God in your own image, because you do it in the way that you've already always done it, instead of being listening and heeding what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. And therefore, it's not full of life anymore. It's full of law instead of life. You know, I have no problem with the Anglican Church. I have no problem with actually the Brethren Church. I thank God for the Brethren Church because of the word, the solid word that comes through them. I pray that they will be, the Holy Spirit will come and you know, bring a life to them in that way. But there is a solid foundation in a church like that. But you see, for me, knowing all of these different things, there has been times where I have been leading something, and I automatically go to what I've known. So therefore, what I've known is to do it ABC. And when ABC doesn't work, it's worked once possibly, or even twice. But when I try and do ABC again, a third or fourth time, it's like, God, what's going on? You were in it when this was taking place, and that life and that service was impacted with your spirit and powers released, but I've done exactly the same again, but nothing's happened. What's going on, Father? And he said to me, you've created an image of me in your own image, not in the image of me. When you pray for somebody, do you always pray the same way in a situation? Or do you say, Father, how do you want me to pray in this situation? Because if you don't do that, you are praying by, in quotes, law, tradition, instead of being inspired by the Holy Spirit, releasing his life into that situation, not something else. There's a situation that I've been reading a book by Danny Silk. Danny Silk is a member of Bethel Church in the States, Bill Johnson's church. And Danny Silk is one of the pastors over there. And there was a situation within another church scenario where somebody who'd been leading worship, they'd been in worship for 4 years, and the wife, his wife, had been in the teaching ministry and teaching different aspects of you know, the truth, the biblical truth in many situations. And in this situation, God was really blessing them. Things were growing around them. There was life, there was power, whether she taught, whether he led worship. But then something happened where, you know, his sin was found out, basically. And he'd been committing adultery for 4 years. While all of this good stuff was going on in his life, there was still something that was hidden inside in his heart. And the leader of this church, you know, thinks automatically, we've got to throw him out of church. We've got to take him out of ministry. We've got to discipline him. And, you know, all the other things pastorally you do in the natural in those scenarios. And this pastor knew Danny Silk and had been in contact with Bethel Church in the States and have realized that they do things slightly differently. And so they sent this couple to Danny and his wife. And Danny just sat down and sort of said, okay, what's the problem? What's the problem? And this guy sort of was a bit bemused. Hasn't my pastor told you? You know, I've committed adultery. I've made a mess of my ministry. I've made a mess of my marriage. I've made a mess of my children. I've made a mess of everything. And woe is me. You know, I deserve to die. And Danny just sort of said, have you asked God to forgive you then? And he sort of said, oh yeah, I've been on my knees, on faces, asking God to forgive me. And Danny just turned around and said, okay, what's the problem then? What's the problem? And, you know, this gentleman concerned was beginning to ask the question, okay, you know, he's getting at something else. And Danny then had a word of wisdom saying, ask him why he can say, I love you, Jesus, from the front, but he doesn't appear to be able to say, I love you, to his wife. And, you know, something came out. I mean, I can't tell you the whole story here, but what began to happen was that this gentleman couldn't receive love from anybody because he had a fear that they would fail him. And so he could love God because he knew that he wasn't going to fail. But because of his relationship with the Father, his Father, his natural Father, he then pushed every single other person back. And subsequently, he realized that he hadn't told his wife that he loved him. And her love language was words and affirmation. He immediately saw it. He immediately started to tell his wife that he loved her. Immediately she forgave him. And they were restored. And Danny said it was quite embarrassing after that. I had to sort of... But you see, the leader then rang Danny and said, okay, what do we do now? What would you do? What would you do? You see, in my natural thinking, there would still be a time period where we would, okay, let's see how, you know, restored it is. So that there's a period of restoration before they went back into ministry. That would be my natural thinking. Because that's how we've done it in church for many, many years. That if somebody has been found out, you know, to sin, then we say, okay, you just stay over there for a period of time. Let's see how it works. And if it's going great, then we'll begin to restore you slowly to positions of leadership. That's how I would see it. That's how I would personally perceive it. But is that how God sees it? Sorry, I'm asking a question here. You see, what I'm trying to get is that sometimes our mindsets, we need to allow God to shine his light into our situations so that we don't assume that we know what the answer is. Because as a, you know, as somebody who has been in, you know, Christian ministry for 20 years now, you can get a pattern of, oh, I know what to do in this situation. I know how to speak to this person in this particular sin. And even in the Christian world, we have experts in marriages. We have experts in, you know, finances, don't we? And please, I'm not saying that's wrong, but I just want us to understand that we have to get hold of what God is saying in every situation. So what we're doing is bringing heaven on earth in that situation, not my natural wisdom or my natural understanding. Please, I'm not saying that we've done all things wrong, but I'm just saying that we need to go back to what God is saying in each and every situation, because there may be things that we're doing that are not full of life anymore, where God is wanting to release his life, his power, into a situation which will bring total freedom and liberty in that particular situation. In this particular situation, they restored them to ministry immediately, and there was no problems whatsoever from the people. The people accepted them, they welcomed them. I don't think the whole congregation knew what was going on, but that doesn't matter. Because you see, if God said the punishment is on his shoulders, why are we as leaders punishing them again?
Yes.
You know, please, I'm not saying that if somebody's found to have, you know, robbed a bank, that we don't, you know, okay, the punishment, you've asked God to forgive you. Okay, the punishment's on his shoulders now, and so therefore we will stay strum, we won't tell anybody else. No, I'm not talking about that. We talk about the authorities. We have to sometimes make recompense for things that we've done wrong. there are sometimes consequences to our actions. And so therefore that doesn't get taken away. But sometimes I think we can punish people again and again and again, where God is saying, no, I've taken the punishment. Yeah. What I want them to do is to bring them into a complete place of freedom, complete restoration, the restoration of relationship with the Father. Because that's ultimately what happened to us. When we accepted Christ into our lives, we were restored with relationship with the Father.
Amen.
And because we had that relationship restored, we were then able to enter into the life that God has for us.
Yeah.
And so therefore, anything and anybody being restored, what we're asking them to do or what we're encouraging them to do is to be restored into relationship with Him. But you see, sometimes we can get so traditional in our thinking, and therefore we are creating God in the image that I have made. Just think about the children of Israel for a time with Moses. You know, Moses was up the mountain. There was thunder around, you know, the cloud. They'd seen God action with the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud during the day. Supernatural things were going on. But within 40 days, they're saying, okay, we need to be able to see something. And therefore, they created a calf, you know, a golden calf. They just saw it as a physical manifestation of God Almighty. They made a golden calf. They made a image, a God in an image of what they thought, of their own making, of their own understanding. And we've got to be people who do not create an image in our own understanding, but always, always, always. If you go back to the previous slide, please. That we're not, He doesn't look like us. But we look like Him. We've been created in His image. We're not wanting God to be created in our image or our understanding or our thinking. And so therefore, what we have to do is we have to consistently go to the Father and ask, Lord, how do you want? And what do you want in this situation? How are you wanting me to respond? Because you see, you know, thinking of the first slide about the supernatural, heaven is full of the supernatural. And one of the things that God asks us to pray is, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And therefore, what I believe God is wanting for us as leaders is to pray heaven on earth,
come on.
Not just a general thing, but in the situations that I find myself.
Yes.
So if Brian needed lots of counselling, which I know he does. No. That's a word of wisdom. But what I'm looking for is to bring heaven into Brian's life so that he then walks out and walks away from that in the image of God, not in something of his own image of it that he's created. You see, if he has... And we're coming on to a few other slides which are quite challenging for me. They may not be challenging for you, but they were challenging for me. But you see, if God is, you know, has called and chosen me, if God has said to me that he wants me to live in heavenly places, then I shouldn't think of a low opinion of myself.
That's right.
And as leaders, too many of us think ourselves low opinion. There's a slate which we might get to and we might not. Oops. But, you know, one of the things is that leaders, we're not meant to just survive. We're meant to thrive.
Hallelujah.
Too many of us leaders are just surviving in ministry and not thriving in ministry. Why? Because we've begun to see all the things around us. And we're thinking in our own image instead of thinking how God sees those situations and circumstances. That's why we as the church, and especially as leaders, we need to have constantly that understanding, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, I need your wisdom. I need your understanding, not just the natural, but the supernatural. So the supernatural is involved in every situation and circumstance. Please, this, you know, if you are emerging leaders, you can sometimes come into situations where somebody, you know, you young people may come into a place where people around you, you know, just want to hurt themselves, you know, and mock themselves and, you know, suicidal thoughts and things like that, because they have no hope. You know, it's not just natural, you know, Jesus is your hope, you know, and Jesus, you need wisdom from on high. Lord, shine your light into this situation so that heaven is revealed in this. So that you're bringing them into the truth of who Jesus is, the reality of who he is, because out there people are wanting reality. But who is the person who is full of reality? Jesus. You know, I have people in churches sort of saying, oh, I'm longing for the reality in my church. Jesus is the reality. He's the freedom. He's the life. He's the kindness, the gentleness. He's the peace. He's the patience. Jesus is everything. He is the reality that out there people are looking for. And we've got to introduce him to people. But if we don't know him ourselves, and especially as leaders, that we don't continue to cultivate that relationship with him, then we do begin to create God in an image that looks a lot like you and me. Because you see, if we begin to see God in our own image, then when we're down, our whole demeanor will be down. And therefore, you know, we're bringing down God to a level that he's not. We're seeing God that small instead of this big. You know, the earth is his footstool, yet we sometimes see God and treat God as somebody in the box, and when we need him, we open the box and jack in the box type of scenario. Okay, I don't need you anymore, Father. I've sorted this one. I'm putting back in the box. And even as leaders, we do that because we get familiar with what we do. Some of you have been in ministry for years and years and years, but you can get familiar with ministry. And what God is wanting is for it to be full of life. Can we go on two screens? God says, I only operate to one plan. I don't have a plan B, as I don't need a backup plan. I think sometimes finances sometimes is the easiest thing to describe, where we sometimes have a backup plan in the natural. You know, if God does not come up trumps with this finance, then we'll do this, this, and this. God only has one plan. He's been working it out from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He has. And we, in 30th of January 2010, are all part of that plan that he is working out. He is sovereign. He brings and moves us into positions, and sometimes those positions are positions where in the natural, we wouldn't choose to be. But God has allowed it for a purpose to bring him the glory. But you see, we need to understand that we need to come into that plan. And that's why we need to be people who are in relationship with the Father. So that we are all right in line with his plan. Amen. In our situation, our circumstances.
Yes, Lord.
Whether you're a life group leader, whether you're a church leader here. I'm talking about us as individuals here at the moment. But you, in your part, need to link with the power of heaven so that you can see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in every situation and circumstance. Some of you sometimes say, if it doesn't work, I will go and do this. That needs to stop. Seriously, that needs to stop. If that's your mindset, if this doesn't work, I can go and do something else. That needs to stop. And it has to stop today. Because you have to understand that God is sovereign. And he knows exactly what he is doing. You know, you think about Joseph. And when Joseph met his brothers, and he introduced himself to them, it's quite remarkable. He says that this was not your plan, this was God's plan. God allowed all of these things to happen in my life, to be thrown into a pit by you guys, to then go into prison by Potiphar, to remain there for a good long period of time until he interpreted dreams. He then had to stay in prison for another period of time. But within that, God had begun to work on his heart. And that position of second in command. But, you know, he said to his brothers, this was not your plan, this was God's plan. And we have to understand that we are part of God's plan. And, you know, whatever leadership, you know, position you guys hold here, and whatever churches you represent, and whatever positions you are there, you have to understand that you are part of God's plan, that you have been called and chosen for that. There's no accident. And so therefore, you need to come in line with his plan and purpose for your life. And so don't have a get out of jail free card that you play every time you get into difficulty.
That's right.
It's, you know, it's so, so important that we understand this is God's plan for us. And we can't opt out of God's plan when we don't feel it's right. You know, yes, God moves us on, please. I'm not saying that. But there's sometimes where we just sort of, oh, if it's not working, so I'll do something else now. No, we've got to be, you know, hold on to God and God's promise, because there's only one plan. Okay, it's 5:30. I've only got a few more minutes. Next, please. I'm going to just get a few on the screen at the moment. If we are to learn to steward the resources of heaven, we must learn to practice a wealth mentality. Please, I'm not talking about money. But I am talking about money too. Because it's part of the kingdom mindset. And as leaders, you know that we need finances to enable us to do things. Some of you may have building plans and projects. You need money to do that. The building is not going to suddenly go poof and appear with a wand. It's going to take money. I wish it would. Next, please. There's a number of screens on wealth mentality, but I want us to understand, think what heaven is. Next page, please. And, oh, no, the one bit back. Next. The Christian life is not about surviving but thriving. We've had that. Next one. As believers, we are all in danger of being princes and princesses who think and live like paupers. Unless we are renewed in our thinking, we not only will be abusing the great power and responsibility that we have been given, we won't even be aware that we are doing so. Is it true?
Yes.
You see, as leaders, we have to understand that we are part of a kingdom that has incredible wealth. Please, I'm not talking just finances here. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And we are part of that kingdom of God. And as leaders, we have to understand that we are people who are responsible for delivering this great truth to a people who God has given us to be responsible for whatever period or whatever duration of time. But we have to understand that what we're wanting is to see heaven on earth, and therefore the wealth of heaven on earth. So therefore, when somebody needs healing, what is in heaven? Heaven is full of vitality and health. And therefore, there is a wealth of health in heaven. And so therefore, what we want is to bring that down on earth. So therefore, we are seeing healthy people, because that is demonstrating what is on heaven on earth. You know, people who sound mind. Yes. There are so many people in our churches that are so depressed at the moment. Yeah. It is. It is so true. People are so stressed. That's not heaven mindset. a mindset of wealth says, no, that's mine. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that fullness of life that he intends me to have. And therefore, I do not have to accept the negativity in my mind or in my emotions that bring that stress-related situations around. And many leaders are in stress. Many leaders, we speak to a lot of leaders who get really stressful about the situations they're in. And I just really believe that they just need to have a fresh revelation of heaven and the wealth of heaven, and that they themselves tap into that, and therefore they will begin to release that, because they will come themselves into a place of freedom, and therefore they will be able to release that freedom wherever the situation. And therefore they will not be thinking of a poverty mindset. I don't have. I don't want have what it takes to bring that person into freedom. I don't have that what it takes to speak that word of wisdom in this situation that can help this married couple through into a place of freedom and liberty. But you see, in heaven, there is all the resources that I will ever need as a leader. And we have to, as leaders, not think poverty. We have to think wealth. You see, somebody in, I don't know what, in quote, social class you come from. But sometimes if you are from a lower, you know, a class of people where the wages are quite low, etc., etc., the mindset is survival. I am surviving, and it's just literally one, you know, plate of food to another plate of food. It's one situation after another situation. And please, I'm not trying to be negative here, but I'm just telling you that sometimes there's a mindset in the church and in leadership that it's just one situation to another. It's the survival mindset. And God wants to break the survival mindset in his leadership, certainly, and his church, because that's our responsibility, so that we don't think like paupers, we think like wealthy people.
Amen.
Yeah, we're princes. Princesses. I can't be sexist, can I? But you see, you know, we've got to think, okay, my father is the king. My father is the king. My father is the king. And therefore, as a son, I have that inheritance. Stop talking. I could go on this for ages. But listen, unless we are renewed in our thinking, we will not only abuse the great power and responsibility. We as leaders have a great responsibility. But that's not something of a pressure in the wrong way. There is something that God is putting on us. There is a responsibility, and a real responsibility, especially to leadership. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because he will carry our burdens for us. And it's when we don't depend on who he is that we begin to carry the burdens ourselves. And so therefore, we've got to release what God is wanting us to release, allow him to carry what he wants to carry. And therefore, the pressure of ministry, the pressure of responsibility, we will understand belongs in heaven, belongs with the Father, and we will just continue to operate as sons. That's the thinking that God wants us to have, but too many of us, and please, this is what God's been challenging me about. You know, this is in my time with the Lord, this is in my journal. This is my journal. And these are things that are in my journal, and I'm just allowing you to enter into my world for a bit. But I believe it's God's world.
Amen.
Next page, please. This is important. I must leave my father's house and align myself with my new father's house. See, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. You see, you can think naturally. You know, of, you know, a wife leaving home, or a son leaving home. And there is actually a truth in that, that we need to reteach some of our people who are getting married. That there is a leaving of. But you see, spiritually it's true too. That our mindset can't be, you know, we have to leave what we've been brought up in. Whatever that is, and whether you have had an amazing upbringing or whether it's been a a more difficult or challenging upbringing, we have to leave that because that's the old. The new identity belongs into the new house that we've been adopted into. And therefore, I can enjoy the wealth of that new Father's house. And I have to think that way. And please, as leaders, we need to. Because if we don't, how on earth are the people that we're looking and God is asking us to serve, how are they going to come into that place of freedom and understanding that their identity now is not of the old, it's of the new? You know, several of you can think of that, my father's house, it was great or not so great. But that's not your identity anymore.
Come on.
As soon as you were born again, you came into a new house.
Hallelujah.
Next, please. These resources are an inheritance, something we have access to because we have been grafted into the royal family line of God. See, that's our identity now. This identity is what defines our responsibility to use these vast resources to benefit those around us. You see, it's not for ourselves. If we try to keep them for ourselves, we're going to be like the person with one talent, five talents, who buries it in the ground. We're meant to be rivers of life. And as leaders, you know that. Please, I'm not, you know, I'm just wanting us to get a whole picture of how God wants you to be. And how important it is to allow the Holy Spirit to have that freedom and liberty. Because we have been grafted into the royal family line of God. This identity is what defines our responsibility to use these vast resources to benefit those around us. When we start to believe the limitlessness of what we have and the weight of what we are called to do with it, we will come to know and experience the reality of the promise that we will receive what we ask for. That is a prayer. That is a prayer promise. That if you ask in his name, whatever will be yours. But it's because you have that mindset that I'm a prince. I'm part of a royal line. I'm part of a royal lineage now. And therefore, I can tap into the resources of heaven in this prayer situation, or in this situation, that will actually release the power of God, whatever and whatever situation I need. Next, please. Glory. Question. Because I do need to finish so that you have a coffee break. But there's a couple of questions and then something to just round it off. Do you tap into the absolutely unlimited resources of heaven? I can't answer that question for you. But as leaders, in the situations you face, do you yourself tap in to the unlimited resources of heaven? And obviously, again, because you are leading groups of people, you need to be asking that, Lord, am I tapping in to the unlimited resources of the people for the people I'm serving? But you can't do that on that side before you do it for yourself. Next one, a question. Please remember, this is questions God's asked me. Goodness me. What view of heaven am I expressing? That is not something that you'll be able to answer in the next 2 minutes. It's a question that God's asked and has been asking me for a number of days. This is not a this is not something that, you know, was months and years ago. This is something that's happened this week in May. And all I'm doing is sharing my heart of what God's saying to me at the moment. But this is what God's saying. What view of heaven am I expressing? You know, with I mean, is there a generosity in me? And please, I'm not talking about money either here, but it could relate to money. You know, is there a kindness that I'm showing to the people around me when, you know, people are wanting to talk to me, wanting to communicate something to me? am I showing a patience? Am I revealing or expressing heaven in my touching of people's lives? And people are looking for me for advice. Am I revealing heaven to them, or am I revealing an image of heaven to them? Mm-hmm. Something in my own image, in my own makeup. Am I trying to brush off people when they're wanting my attention? Or am I genuinely expressing heaven on earth in the situations that I'm facing? See, I believe as leaders, if we're going to fulfill the potential of God, and if you want to go onto the next screen, because I want you to read it again while I'm talking, because if we're going to fulfill this, where we are seeing and reflecting the supernatural in every aspect of our life, we've got to seriously ask some of these other questions about, do I have a wealth mentality or do I have a poverty mentality? And please, this is not just about money. Have I got a heavenly mindset, or my mindset has gone so much earthly because of my experience and the circumstances around me, the pressures of life? But you see, God doesn't want us to carry that. God wants us to enjoy what heaven is offering to us so that we can bring that down to earth. So that we can see the incredible supernatural in every situation, every circumstance. And for me, that is my prayer. That in our generation, so that means all of us here, all your leadership skills, abilities, giftings, that we are people who are hungry for these things. And why? Can I have the next one, please? Because it's for the glory of his name. It's for the good of his kingdom. And it's for the welfare of his people. I believe that if you can't say those three things, and this is what Pastor Colin certainly would have brought if he was here, he would have mentioned these three things. Because if you in your ministry, if you in your personal life and the situations you are facing, the choices that you make, if you can't say all of these three things about the things that you're doing, then you need to stop. Because everything we do, because we are part of his kingdom, needs to be to glorify him. Because when Jesus was walking on the earth, he talked so much about the kingdom, his kingdom. He is a king. Yes. And so therefore he has a kingdom. And you and me are part of that kingdom. Yes. And so therefore everything that we do needs to be for the good of that kingdom. So when we sin, that is not for the good of the kingdom, is it? Yes. When we speak negatively over somebody else, that's not for the good of the kingdom. And so therefore these things need to be in place. And because the kingdom is about people, we need to be people who are seeking the welfare of others. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus spent so much time with the people who were the outcasts of society. Yeah. I'll say just one more thing, or two, or three, but one more thing. Because we do need coffee, I think. But God has been telling me, and I believe he's been sharing with several different people as well, that church is going to be very different. The way that it looks is going to be different from what we know. When the Holy Spirit comes amongst his people and upon his leadership, we're going to see church in a very, very different way than what we've done before. And we need to be open to what the Holy Spirit is wanting his church to be like. Now, please, I'm not saying that there's not going to be worship, there's not going to be times together like this. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that the form and the look of church could be very, very different in the future. That, you know, suddenly you might have, you know, 20 people coming into your church who after 1 hour want to go out for a fag. And so therefore, you know, you have an exodus after an hour and you have a lineup outside your door having a smoke and then they all come back in again. Are you going to lock the door and sort of say, I'm sorry, you can't come in anymore?
No.
You know, we had an amazing front line. We have a front line in the church, in our church. And normally, in the past, it's, you know, been sacrosanct, leaders only, you know, type of thing. But, you know, last week, we had Pastor Colin and Caroline was on there, Clive and Jane, myself, Jonathan, my wife Helena, who's a pastor. But then there was two people who were totally not Christians. Brilliant. Or three people, that one son. There was another lady who wasn't saved. And it was just, but you can't. That's, that's the front row. But, oh, yes, it can. And I just want us to understand that if we are going to move into this new generation of time that God is laying out before us, we've got to ensure that our thinking remains heaven's thinking. Amen. And again, we don't make church in our own image. Because the type and the look of church may look very different in the next 5-10 years. Because if we're going to have all of these supernatural things taking place, then guess who's going to come into our churches to experience that supernatural? It'll be all people, all sorts of different, you know, situations, circumstances, people who've been abused. And some people on that front row were people from a woman's refuge. It's great. I think God loves it. But you see, we've got to be leaders who listen to what God is saying so that we can begin to operate and see the wealth of heaven here on earth so that the supernatural can become natural in everyday occurrences, so that when you are in a shop and God just sort of releases, you know, somebody on the till, he's, oh, I've got a headache. Okay, I'll pray for you. Yeah. That doesn't mean you've got to go, oh, shakapobototaba, over them. But it's just releasing the power of God and sort of saying, in Jesus' name, be healed. Yeah. Headache, go. How are you feeling?
Good.
See, right, you see? It works.
Good.
It's easy, isn't it, this stuff? But you see, that's how God wants it to be.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
God wants the supernatural to be so natural to us. So I'm not talking about making big scenes around the place, you know, standing up on, you know, desks or anything and sort of saying, let's say the Lord stuff. If God says that, then you have to be obedient. But I'm just talking about being naturally natural, supernaturally natural. That's it. And, you know, for me, this is what's life. Father, I just thank you that you have been throwing so many questions to me personally. And Lord, I know I have to still work through several of these myself. But Lord, I really believe that you have brought your people into a new generation of time. And Father, Lord, that you are wanting to breathe your spirit out upon us afresh. Father, because we want to do everything for the honor of your name, for the good of your kingdom, and for the welfare of your people. Lord, that everything and every motive will be bringing heaven on earth. And Lord, if there's any ways that you need to challenge us, any ways that you need to, oh Lord, shift our thinking or our mindset, Father, I just invite you to do that in my own life. And Lord, I just ask you that each and every one of us listening here this morning will all be willing to, oh Lord, just to come in line with what you're saying at this time. Father, I thank you that our old heritage is now finished with. And we have now entered into a new kingly realm that you are wanting us to express in every area of our life. Father, I just thank you that as we continue to move forward on this day, that you will continue to challenge us. You'll lay things before us today that we need to take hold of so that we can apply them in our own personal lives, but also in our churches and those people that you have given to us to be responsible for. Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.